in January of 2016, which is getting on in time from now already, this congregation passed a welcome statement, adopted a welcome statement, which was passed by a unanimous congregational vote. And it goes like this. We, the community of Lutheran Church of the Savior, welcome and affirm all persons. We welcome all because Jesus welcomes all. Individuals and families of any race or culture, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, or relationship status. We welcome all without regard to age, church experience, physical or mental health, socioeconomic circumstances, or anything that too often divides us. Our unity is in Christ. That's the statement. I like it. I think it was good. Well done, y'all. Well, nice work on that. Now, yesterday was Kalamazoo Pride. So downtown, the big celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender folks and allies. And it was, I was worried about it because of the weather, but there were still thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and I couldn't even push the baby's stroller through it for the crowds that they had. So not to worry, although some folks did get soaked in setting up. Thank you for your efforts. we had a table there. What was it, like the eighth or ninth year we've done that? I'm not... Six? Is that all? I thought we'd done more. Well, okay. My mind inflated. The sixth year. Oh, yeah. We did cupcakes. I thought we did it before the cupcakes, but okay. Anyway, yeah. So the point is we've been doing this for a while. We lost count. And what we do there, we're famous there, it turns out, for these temporary tattoos, which some of you have seen. I got one about yay. It's a rainbow made of hearts with a little cross in the middle there. Quite popular. I didn't spend a lot of time in the booth yesterday, but we definitely had people walk up, like, oh, hi, and I'm like, do I know you? And like, we come here every year for these hearts, and they're so excited about it, you know, to get their little hearts. So that's what we're known for there. It's a lot of fun. Thanks. Bruce and Sharon set that up again this year, and there were other folks who helped out. Elvira and Teresa were there. Barb was there. Anybody else from church? Yeah. I was here. Oh, yeah, Diane Made from the Synod group, Open Hearts, Open Church, was there, so we had representation from around Michigan, so that was nice. Yeah. Anyway, that was great. So we did that, of course, tattooing the masses, you know, as a witness to God's love being for everybody, and particularly for people who the church has historically rejected, who the church has historically treated as if they were somehow outside the boundaries of God's love. And that's why we go there, is to let everybody know that God loves you, no matter who you are, no matter who you love, no matter how your gender expresses itself, no matter where you're from, God loves you. And that's important. Curiously enough, Kalamazoo Pride is not why I wanted to start talking today with our welcome statement. It's just that's, I was thinking it was a happy accident, but probably it's really the work of the Holy Spirit, because that's how that goes. Lectionary. Now, in fact, I wanted to start with our welcome statement today because of the last line. Our unity is in Christ. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is dealing with a whole lot of division. I mean, he has those, you know, house divided cannot stand. It's talking directly about division. And so saying, ending our welcome statement with our unity is in Christ is a really powerful and public statement for us that we can understand why we do what we do as the church. Now, in the gospel lesson, Jesus' division that he deals with starts with his own family. It says, when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying he has gone out of his mind. I read in the commentary by Professor Matt Skinner that word, when it says people were saying, in Greek, the word is they. As in his family. It's just the same they. But the translators didn't want us to think that Jesus' family were doing this. They just said people. But really, it's Jesus' family are the ones who are saying he's gone out of his mind. Yikes. Then, we'll get back to the family in a minute here. Then the scribes came all the way from Jerusalem to denounce Jesus and to call him demonic. Now, these scribes were the most learned, most well-respected religious leaders. They were the people who knew best what God was doing, so it was said. And they make this extraordinary effort to put Jesus in his place, to dissuade the crowd from believing him. They do this because the crowd, of course, is on Jesus' side. And why wouldn't the crowd be on Jesus' side? What he's been doing here in his town is healing people, setting them free from demonic possession, from illness, from injury, healing them. Get up and you take your mat and walk, that kind of thing. That's what Jesus has been doing. Jesus is giving people wholeness and healing, fullness of life. And in those cultures, you know, it was pretty common to think, oh, if there's something wrong with you, you know, who was it that sinned, you or your parents, right? If there's something wrong with your life, you must deserve that. And conversely, if there's something right with my life, I must deserve that. And that's the implicit understanding that Jesus was threatening by taking these broken people and making them whole, by saying, hey, these people are just as good as everybody else. And Jesus can heal them. And the people who already had what they wanted, they really appreciated having an underclass that they could look down on. And when that status of them at the top was threatened, that's why they came out to try to stop Jesus from bringing people up to their level. It's a dangerous enough message Jesus was offering to get him killed, as we'll see. Now, the same commentary by Dr. Matt Skinner of Luther Seminary had a really helpful explanation of this bit about blasphemy. Because it talks about, you know, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it's unforgivable. What in the world is that? I'm not always clear on that. This is helpful. So I'm going to read. This is a quotation that I clipped some parts out of so it makes more sense. It says, those scribes have dismissed the possibility of God's restoration. They show themselves devoid of hope and openly contemptuous of God's work. Around them, people are being set free from their demons. People are experiencing wholeness and life. And yet the scribes scoff and denounce all of this as false or dangerous. The extraordinary kind of blasphemy of which Jesus speaks is an eternal sin only because it reveals an entirely calcified mind. Such people have seen the works of God up close in Jesus, and yet repudiated the transformative power of God's grace. That's the quote. So I know it was a little too long, but it explained what's going on, is that the unforgivable sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to see the work of the Holy Spirit in action and to say, no, that wholeness, that healing can't be good. Again, because it brings someone else up to my level, because it makes those bad people good again. That's true blasphemy, is seeing God's love at work in the world and saying, no, that can't be God's love, because I've already condemned those people. And we can't have them coming back into fullness of life. That's the true blasphemy, is holding oneself in judgment, knowing that God knows and that therefore that you know who's bad and that they must be bad forever. That's what blasphemy is, because it rejects the possibility that the Holy Spirit can do a new thing, that the Holy Spirit can transform people's lives, transform communities, even whole societies. Here we are. Okay, now we're going to get back to family, because again, family does come back in our gospel lesson. The mother and brothers and sisters came, standing outside, they send to Jesus, they called him, get out here, stop doing that, knock it off, man. We've got to take you home before you embarrass us any further, is what they think. You're out of your mind, Jesus. You're causing too much distraction. You're drawing too much attention to yourself and to us. This isn't how we raised you. We raised you to just, you know, keep on, stay in your place. No. So Another helpful reference for Kalamazoo Pride yesterday is the notion of family of choice. Have you heard this term, family of choice? It's a very common expression among gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender communities, because historically, families have often rejected such people for being who they are and said, well, if you're going to live like that, then you're no son of mine, or whatever, and rejected them out of families. That's why the homeless rate of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender youth is enormously high compared to other kids, because so often these kids are not safe in their own homes. They're not safe, and they can't be themselves. They can't be who they are in their own homes, and so they have to go out and live a much more dangerous life. So this notion of family of choice, and there's lots of great art about this. I won't even get into all the good examples of how you build a family out of the people who truly care about you, the people who truly see you for who you are. This notion of family of choice is something that Jesus, I was going to say implicitly, but really explicitly affirms in this lesson. Who are my mother and my brothers? Who are my mother and my brothers? It's the people, whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The church also is a family of choice. I've heard lots of you in this room describe this congregation as a family. And you know, families have their squabbles and you don't always like each other as much as you love them. I admit that. And that's the case in churches too, right? But ultimately, you're all here by your own choice. I've said it lots of times. I'm the pastor. Y'all pay me to be here, and thank you, and what a blessing that is for me. But if I show up on a Sunday morning and I'm the only one, I mean, Deb's probably the only person I'm going to call and be like, where were you? You know? Because you also, yeah, it's your job, right? But like you guys, like, I just feel like I'm lucky to have you all here. And that includes you, Deb, obviously. I'm certainly lucky to have you here. You choose to be a part of this family. You choose to be a part of this family. Ideally, because this family does affirm something about who you are, that you can be your true self here, and that we together can learn more about who God is, and how God loves us, and how we can respond to God's love in our community, in our lives, in our world. Because we know there is need for God's love in our lives, in our community, and in our world. As most of you have heard, big week for me. Sent out the letter and then the email that went out that says that my family and I are leaving Lutheran Church of the Savior. I'm sad to say this, and I have nervous belly saying it out loud to this room full of people I care about so much. I'm not the least bit happy about leaving you, but I am excited about the new possibilities, called as the pastor of a church in St. Paul, Minnesota. Some new opportunities, some new challenges. It promises to be harder than being here. You know, one of my problems with being here for the last 9 years is y'all were just too easy on me. Not enough dissent, not enough complaining. Well, maybe enough complaining. Not enough, like, real conflict, though, you know. Probably enough complaining, to be honest. So we together. That's true. And don't think I haven't thought of that. If you think you're clever. No, and there, I'm honestly, though, you know, the church is going to go through a transition time, and there will be some conflict, and some things come up, and some people come out of the woodwork, and you're like, what does that come from? What's going on here? And people are going to be anxious, and some people are going to try to, like, take over something and be in charge more than they should, and people are going to go through all kinds of things, and people are going to grieve, and people are going to leave, and maybe they'll come back, and it's going to be a challenging time. And that's why this message of Jesus for today, I think, can be so powerful. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. I truly believe that you, the people of Lutheran Church of the Savior, have been doing the will of God, that you are sisters and brothers in Christ, and that relationship between me and you will never change so long as we continue to do the will of God. that more important relationship than the one of pastor to congregation, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That will not change, and I take comfort in that, and I take hope from that. As we said 2 years ago, our unity is in Christ. Our unity is in Christ. Our unity will remain in Christ. This church's unity will remain in Christ. As long as we remain, as long as you, I guess, have to say now, that was sad. As long as you remain Christ-centered, as long as you focus on what truly matters, God will continue to work here. The Holy Spirit will continue to transform lives in and through this congregation. So let it happen. You know, let the Holy Spirit do God's work. Trust in one another. Trust in God to do a new thing in the life of this congregation. Trust that God is not finished with you or with us yet. Amen.